Delta Golf has established early downwind 29. Copy the joining traffic and the body traffic.
Many pilots are guilty of making, at some time, a radio call that's hard to understand. One of the main reasons is the speed of their delivery.
Bring your returning Foxtrot Mike about 2 west, 1,700 feet. I'll join overhead for the mid downwind 07.
I'm Pen Mackay and this is Vector Online. In this audio article called Slow Down Those Radio Calls, we're talking about the link between radio telephony practice and aviation safety.
Bring your traffic, Tango Lima Romeo is Springbank 1100 and at this stage joining straight into 07. Hey, Uniform Delta X-ray at holding point 07, what's your intentions please?
Radio calls are arguably second only to lookout in the critical basics of safe flying. Yet, complaints are widespread among pilots about the poor delivery of some of their fellow pilots' calls. A private pilot with 1,600 hours flying, CAA medical officer Dr. Claude Preitner, says a radio call, well done, is fundamental to safety.
It is critical for position reporting to be clear and easy to understand by other traffic. If not understood by others, reporting only creates confusion, contributes to radio clutter, and gives a false sense of security for the person who is making the reporting position, because they will be believing that the other traffic will be aware of their own position when they are not, because they have not understood.
So why do some pilots speak so quickly on the radio? This is what Massey University School of Aviation CFI Paul Kearney thinks.
It's more around the nerves of when they first start using the radio. And then again, maybe at the later stage when they think they're really good at it, and suddenly it becomes the faster I can do it, the better I am.
CAA flight examiner Mark Brogan recently demonstrated for a blissfully unaware student how difficult their radio call had been to understand.
I'd been testing for a number of days and had no problem at all speaking to people face to face, just in conversation, and in the aeroplane it was fine, but during the course of a flight test there was a radio call where someone spoke so rapidly that you couldn't make out any of the words, so the effectiveness and, you know, detail in the radio call was lost.
So when you got on the ground, what did you do to point that out to the student?
So I then started talking rapidly to them to see if they could understand what I was saying, and they sort of looked at me with a puzzled look, and I said, effectively, that's what we hear via the radio.
And you've said in when you were on the ground, you could look at that student's confusion, but how does that differ from being up in the air making a radio call?
So in a face-to-face conversation, if you don't understand someone or they don't understand you, you've got facial expressions which sort of give a degree of body language and relay how effective you're being in talking to them, passing your message on. But in the year, of course, you don't have that, so it's lost.
Claude Preitner is from Switzerland and is very aware that, with his French accent, he must always speak with clarity so his radio calls are easy for other traffic to understand. But it's not just overseas-born pilots who have to speak slowly and clearly. We New Zealanders can also be pretty indistinct in our delivery, as Amy Dreverman from Wellington Aero Club notes.
New Zealanders are known for kind of lazy language, so I think we don't articulate clearly enough, but also the speed that we talk, and sometimes just on the radio, there's pressure to perhaps talk faster, and then I think that combined makes it quite difficult to understand at times.
Massey student 20-year-old Alice Yu certainly had some difficulty when she first started training here.
Yeah, when I first started doing this course, it was really hard because the New Zealand accent, they talk too fast. And then sometimes it's quite just blurry, not clear enough. And especially in the radio, it fades sometimes. So I would just be like, where are you going? What are you talking about? And say again.
And did they respond okay?
Yeah, sometimes. But, you know, sometimes they just still read the name too fast. Like, there was an aerodrome next to Taupo that area, Tomarunui. And in the radio, it just sounds like Tomarunui. And I found it really hard to just find where they are and try to locate them and avoid them.
Of course, say again, or please repeat, should clear up any confusion between pilots. But as Massey's Paul Kearney explains, say again, or please repeat, don't always get the desired response.
Seems to have been increasing more and more that if you are, say, operating an uncontrolled airspace and somebody makes a radio call and then you want to find out some more information from them, it's very, very difficult to get them to respond back to you. So it's almost like radio calls are being done as a transmit and forget. I've done my job, you know, I've done my position report, tick, checklist done, rather than a tool to actually communicate between pilots. And from talking to other examiners, they sort of found the same sort of thing.
CAA Aviation Safety Advisor Carlton Campbell says it shows some pilots are out of touch with the reason radio calls are made.
Really what they should be doing is remembering when they are in the listening position, the information that they need to help their decision making and their sequencing of traffic is what should be conveyed. So when we do make a radio call, try and think about the people who are listening at that time. Are they getting the information they need to hear?
While some pilots don't speak enough for safety, others go to the other extreme. In the March-April 2017 issue of Vector, Carlton Campbell said that it's a fine line as to how many calls a pilot should make. He told the magazine that while pilots should make them at recognised reporting points or clearly identifiable geographic features, some pilots made position, height and intention reports far in excess of what was necessary. He said that the result was a jumble of reports, which could become confusing and counterproductive to safety. The idea behind making a call, he told Vector, was to help other pilots form a mental map of other traffic and not just adding to what Carlton called the noise. Apart from the speed of some radio calls and their lack of clarity, probably the most complained about feature in radio telephony is the use of colloquial reporting points by pilots familiar with a certain area. 20-year-old Shagun Sharma is also at Massey School of Aviation.
It's very hard to figure out where they are because sometimes they'll just say, oh, yep, overhead, a street or a house, somewhere, and you're like, I don't know where you are. I just don't know. So you just avoid it as far as much as you can. And you're at 1,500 and they're at 100 feet in an ag aircraft. They're clear, but you still don't know where they are. It's a problem sometimes.
But it's not just overseas students who struggle. Margaret Wright has held a current PPL for 40 years. She also has some problems with people sometimes not using official visual reporting points.
Over the years, I certainly have had some issues at times. It's a reporting point that it's not one of the visual reporting points, and we all can't be on visual reporting points all the time, but it's certainly something that you really don't know where they are.
Is that when they use something colloquial like overhead water tanks?
Yeah, that position. So it's not an actual position report, or it's a commonly notable point. So it's something pretty obscure where they are reporting from.
And I guess that's okay if you're a local, but if you're not a local, then you have a few problems.
Yeah, local, is not so bad. It's when we are doing cross-country and then we're in a place that we're not actually go to very often or fly to very often. So that can be certainly an issue.
CAA investigator Jason Frost-Evans points to the link between safety, or a lack of it, and how Māori place names are sometimes pronounced.
It's important that people try and pronounce them correctly, because if they don't, then you can get a whole lot of different ways of pronouncing the same word, and then it's very confusing to someone that doesn't normally fly in an area. It's fine if you fly in that area all the time and you know how all the locals pronounce it, but if you come in from outside and you're expecting the Maori place name to be pronounced correctly and it's pronounced completely differently, you won't know what they're talking about.
Another frustration some pilots have with their mates in the sky are those who transmit to think. Wellington Aero Club's Amy Dreverman tries to run through what she wants to say in her head before making the actual call, something Massey student Shagun Sharma also practices.
I plan a structure in my head before I say it, and it's basically like where I am, what I'm doing, and what I intend to do. And if some clearance, read back the clearance, then what I intend to do. You keep that in mind, you should be fine.
Matt Earle from Nelson Aviation College agrees it's a good practice.
Practice the call in your head a couple of times or out loud once or something before pressing the button and transmitting. Ultimately, though, we are only human, and sometimes you do accidentally treat it as a push to think, so you're never really going to be perfect, but if people can, and if it does happen that you can practice the call first, make it nice and concise, press that button, and then articulate clearly, and you get a perfect radio call.
Parapara Umu traffic, Alpha Alpha Juliet, 1 West Pukerua Bay, 1,500 feet north to Whanganui.
You've been listening to the Vector Online audio article, Slow Down Those Radio Calls. If you want to read the print version of this article, which contains some slightly different insights, go to the Spring 2021 issue of Vector magazine. I'm Pen Mackay. Thanks for listening.